Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, anything else that's related and might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro. Menapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Menapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Menapro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Menapro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Menapro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It, of course, is Tuesday. We have a great show lined up for you today. But before we continue one moment further, it is now time to do the most important thing of the day, and that is to bring on my one hidden offer, the talented Pat Foreman. Good afternoon, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. Good afternoon. Boy, are you sounding pretty perky. Things are going well, right?
Today has been a better day over the last few, so doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. I think it's going to be a great day. We're really getting excited for our trip this coming Thursday up to Delaware to the big event Cooptastic with Dr. McCray. So we've already started kind of getting things ready for that trip, and really excited about that. But a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and we have a great show lined up for all of our wonderful listeners. So far, so good. Yes, ma'am. How about yourself?
Yeah, and you're still taking the train up, is that right?
We are. Love to take Amtrak as much as we can. We love it. It's great. Nothing could be finer. Dinner in the diner. So, yep, so we really have a good time. It's relaxing. We sleep good on the train. Great meals. Meet lots of nice people. And that's what it's all about, spreading that chicken.
Wow.
So, yep, we sure are.
I'm impressed you can sleep well on the train. You must tune into that clackety, 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 clack and just head to sleepland, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, and it's really nice. The last two cars are the sleeper cars. If you book a room or upgrade to accommodations, which includes all your meals for your entire trip, it's really nice. Though you're assigned, I guess, I don't know what you call it on a train, a cabin steward maybe, They can take completely care of you. It's awesome. And so it's a very back two cars. So if you're once they get your bunks ready and everything and you're asleep right by the window, beautiful view normally, you can really faintly hear the whistle of the train, which is really nice. And it just kind of rocks you back and forth a little bit. And once you fall asleep, you don't even notice. They do make stops along the trip. Don't even notice that once you're sound asleep. And actually, we hear the train whistle louder, which we love. We love trains. But we hear the train whistle louder in our old farmhouse than we do when we're actually on the train.
Wow.
So, yeah, it works. It's wonderful. We really like it. So, yep, looking forward to the train ride. It's always nice. It sure beats driving. And I believe the train pulls out of Atlanta, if it's on time, around 8. I want to say it's 8:20. And we'll arrive right into Wilmington, Delaware. It's Thursday evening, 8:20. The train will pull out, and we'll arrive in Wilmington, Delaware at 12:01 p.m. We'll go and have lunch on the train about 11:30, 11:15, so we can get take advantage of our free meal there, the meal that's included with our accommodations. And then right 12 o'clock, we'll roll into Wilmington, Delaware. So, but it's just we've taken this particular trip – this train three times now, there's nothing better than waking up to a beautiful sunrise over West Virginia. It's just Virginia.
Oh yes.
Beautiful, beautiful countryside, and you go right through a very rural area. You see little farmhouses, and it's just awesome. We love waking up on the train when we're about where we're at on this particular route, and because it's just beautiful atmosphere. So yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, yeah, there's always something to look forward to with travel, and then it's so good to get home. I don't know about you, but I'm like a horse headed back to the barn. I just can't hardly wait to get back home, even though it's been such a wonderful trip. So, but yeah.
Yep, wonderful. So I'm really excited about today's show. It's something that I've had on my mind for a while. I finally got around to it. And, you know, that reminds me back, I can remember growing up, this lady was very clever. She was very crafty. And, you know, everybody says, oh, I guess I'll do that when I get around to it. Well, she made these little cloth round pieces of material that were printed, and it said round, R-O-U-N-D, and then at the bottom it said to it, T-U-I-T-T, or whatever it was called. And so she would hand those out. She says, there, now you have a round to it. Now go get it done.
Excuses. That's cute.
So
that's cute. Whenever
we get around. But I finally got around to it and invited one of my friends, Andrew Odom, and following him for, oh, geez, at least a year, maybe a couple of years now, and watched his whole movement progress with what he's really involved with. He's now a contributor with, I believe, Grit Magazine and a Farmer's Almanac, and he's got his blog and his website. And, you just wait till you hear a story, folks. It's amazing. And to just, wake up one day and I'm sure it took more than just waking up one day, but you know, this is what we're going to do. And, pretty much from my understanding, selling off everything, buying an acre of land, moving, you know, building your home. I mean, it's like, his home is, I don't know, 12 by 30. He's going to tell us all about it because I don't want to distort it but it's just truly amazing. And it's so interesting. You're just like, just waiting for his next blog post entry to see what's next. What has he experienced? The good, the bad, the ugly. What's going on? What not to do? What to do? And so that's what he's going to do with us once a month when he comes on the third. I know today's the fourth Tuesday, but we really wanted to get him on the show and introduce him so we could get started next month. It'll be the third Tuesday of every month, and he'll come on and he'll share us the good and the bad and the ugly of his experiences living a minimalist lifestyle. The good and the bad, the ugly with that, his experiences and difficulties and the fun times, the advantages. So it'll really give us something to look forward to once a month to say, okay, let's see what kind of experiences Andrew had over the last 30 days and he's going to share with us and what kind of progress he's making. I think he's got a child on the way as well, like Jen and I think due in September. So that's going to add a whole different formula to the minimalist lifestyle. So, absolutely. And so I was talking to somebody the other day and I was like, yeah, we got a great, great guest coming on a regular basis. We've invited him on. He's excited about it. We're excited about it. Andrew Odom, and he's all about living a minimalist lifestyle. And someone said, well, I don't know if I could do that. I like to wear clothes.
Oh my goodness!
Yes. No. Not a naturalist lifestyle. We're a minimalist lifestyle. Oh, it cracked me up. He's going to be talking about all his game plan for living a minimalist lifestyle. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I like to wear clothes. Yeah, it was so funny. I cracked up when I heard that. So yeah. So if you don't know, he's going to be telling us all about what that really means to live a minimalist lifestyle and why he's doing it and the whole yard and what he's done so far to get us caught up. And so we're really looking forward to it. So we've got going today. We do have, I think, an open show tomorrow, but Pat and I will work hard to get you, again, a worthwhile guest to come on and share their knowledge. Thursday, people have already been asking about this on our Facebook page, but I got an email. When's that show about heating your greenhouse with compost? That's going to be this Thursday, folks, this Thursday. Just a couple of days away. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, always comes on the second and fourth Thursdays. He'll be here teaching us how to partially heat our greenhouse with compost. So that, how cool is that? Definitely looking forward to that because we do plan on building a hoop house cold frame at the farm, hopefully sooner than later. And that may be a great way to add a little heat to that naturally. So I'll be definitely taking notes this Thursday. And then remember, no show this Friday. So we're kind of, you know, what I might do, folks, is I might extend the show on Thursday to 2 hours, and then so we can do a fun Friday on Thursday. But we will make up that Thursday show, I guarantee, this Saturday, a special show, like you know, broadcasting live on location, both radio, chat room, and HD video, just like watching TV, this Saturday from Cooptastic in Harrington, Delaware, with our good friend Dr. McCray. So you want to tune in if you can Saturday. We have a whole different group of folks that tune in Saturday because they can't turn in during the week because of their hardworking jobs, and but they'll tune on Saturday. So this Saturday from 10 to noon Eastern. I know that's an early rise out there for you on the West Coast, but it'll be well worth it because we're going to be shooting in live HD video if the internet gods and the cellular gods are working on our favor regarding all of our connections. And we'll be broadcasting a live HD video, so you can not just hear what's going on, but you can see the interviews, you can see some of the educational classes that they're doing and whatnot. So we're really looking forward to that this Saturday. So we hope you fun Friday on Thursday. If you remember last Friday, it was Fun Friday, but was also deemed Naked Neck Friday in honor of our great Naked Neck chickens that everybody loves, or a lot of people love. Some of them think they don't look all that attractive, but so we did Naked Neck Friday, and you just had to make sure there was you had a naked neck if you were listening to the show. And I think everybody, Walter says, Pat, you're going to have your coffee this Thursday instead of Friday.
Oh dear. That's right. Yeah.
Gotta love it. All righty. Well, let's move right along.
Not more than once a week.
Not more than once a week. Exactly. That they just. Oh my goodness. This country will not know what hit them if Pat had her coffee more than once a week. So, let's go ahead and get started, Pat, with our chickens in the news segment because I want to get on to and bring Andrew on and get that. Everybody's always excited about that. But we'll start off with chickens in the news. Chickens in the news is of course brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com. They're up in Polk, Ohio, folks. We had a chance to visit them when we were up there at the Ohio National. Had a great time, great people, great facility, and I guess a lot of people are ordering their spring chicks right now, and you can do that at MeyerHatchery.com. All right, do you have any news for us today, Pat? I'll let you go first if you do. If not, I've got a couple to share as well.
Yeah, I've got two vignettes. I'm not sure I'd call them fully news, but they're interesting items. One is there's a development of mice. This is so interesting. Mice can be trained to detect explosives, and they've been trained by Israeli scientists who say that the rodents are better than dogs at sniffing out certain chemicals. What happens is they're placed in a compartment within a chamber about the size of a full-body scanner, and when they detect an explosive scent, they scurry to one side of their compartment. So there you have it. Well, before you know it, we're going to be having the national security mice trying to snip out.
Hey, maybe that since everybody is having such a horrible time with these airport scanners when they go through security, maybe to make it a little bit more exciting, you'll have to walk up and they'll put a couple of mice in your pants. And they'll search for explosives. How cool would that be?
No. That's not how. Whisper. That's not how it works.
Okay. I was thinking, you know, go to the airport and they'll put some mice in your pants and they'll squirrely around and look for different type of explosives and everything. They'll clear you and then you can get on the airplane. How about that?
No. Okay. Of course, your pants tend to crow. Do you still have to cock-a-doodle-doo for yourself?
Yeah, I was at the bank yesterday. I was filling out a deposit slip, and next thing you know, I got a text message, and so the teller's sitting there, and she hears, buck, 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 buck. And they know me real well, so she just kind of giggled a little bit and, you know, just kind of brushes it off. Oh, that's Andy the Chicken Whisperer. So, yep, and when my – yep, exactly.
Oh, dear. Well, here's another little interesting item, and this one is pretty cool. It says, portable hydrogen cartridges have been designed to power laptop computers, cell phone chargers, GPS units, and other mobile devices. And this is done by a Michigan startup, and apparently hydrogen is added by adding water to sodium silicide, which comes from salt and sand, then they can be used in remote locations or countries with limited infrastructure. And of course, the off-gassing then is oxygen. So wouldn't that be nice if we didn't have all these batteries with the heavy metals in them and the cadmium and the lead to deal with, and we can instead just use basically sand and sand, salt, and water. So that's something that's probably coming up in the next 10 years or so, but I got all excited about it. I know, what can I say? This last one, let's see. Well, why don't you go ahead and do one?
Okay.
I did two vignettes. You go ahead and do one.
Not a problem. Let me scroll down here. And we love to hear this. And again, we just got done with a Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest, which the winner was the college school in Webster Groves, Missouri. They won a chicken coop and an incubator and some books and educational books. So we all know the great advantage of educating the kids and the teachers and the parents and the community about backyard poultry and the benefits. And so this is one way to do it. But here's another one coming to us from Lake in the Hills. The Lake in the Hills patch comes to us under the news under schools. It's the eggs before the chickens for local elementary school. Various classroom subjects are covered in Macoubin Elementary School's Chicken Egg Development Unit by Stephanie Price with Lake in the Hills. One local farmer will soon be paying an integral part in making a popular program at one area elementary school happen. Farmer Ryan, a local farmer from Woodstock, will deliver 240 fertilized chicken eggs to 10 Macoubin Elementary School kindergarten classrooms on April 4th as part of a chicken egg development unit. He will also educate children on how to have a successful hatch rate and will give the chicks a home on his farm when the program is completed. Each classroom will receive 24 chicken eggs from Farmer Ryan, said Jennifer Wilkinson, a kindergarten teacher at Macoubin. It takes 21 days for the chicks to hatch. We generally keep the baby chicks for 5 to 7 days in the classroom. The total program lasts for 4 weeks. The chicks should start hatching the afternoon of April 25th. From that point, the sounds of chicks chirping and kindergartners giggling will emanate from Macoubin's classrooms. The Chicken Egg Development Unit is not just a science course. The teachers incorporate the program to language arts, writing, technology, math, and career education. Jen does that in her classroom every year, folks, and it's awesome. And it's not just science. It is. I'm so glad to hear that they're using that in all aspects of the kids' learning. In math, students count the hatching days backwards from 21 to 0. They also predict the number of eggs they think will hatch, compare that number to the actual number of hatchlings, and graph their results. Now, you laugh, but I'm telling you, if you haven't been into a kindergarten classroom lately, these are 5 and 6 year olds. This is, they do. It's amazing what they're doing now. They're predicting the number of eggs. They're comparing the number. They're graphing. It's just amazing what they're teaching in kindergarten nowadays. For language arts, teachers read related nonfiction books so students can learn about chickens, the chicken life cycle, farms, and farm animals. They also learn about their animals, other animals that lay eggs. We read fiction stories like Chicken Little and Chicken Red, Little Red Hen series. Wilkinson said, with those stories, we sequence events and compare like stories by the same author. Teachers also discuss careers like farming and veterinarian jobs. For writing the students' journal about the growth occurring inside the egg each day, they also write creative stories about the chicks. Yeah, they have a journal. Jen's classroom has a journal as well. They write every day about each day the development. This is perfect. For science, the students learn how to prepare the baby chicks with food, water, heat, and shelter. They're taught how to properly handle the chickens so they don't hurt them and the chickens don't hurt the kids. And it's just an amazing event. So we love to hear this. And just this is a great article because it shows people, wow, what these kindergartners are really, really doing and how they can do it by hatching some eggs out actually in the classroom. So, and I've got one more here I want to read, and I didn't post it because our friend Patrick posted it, and I know that I may post it later on because it is kind of interesting. He posted it. When you post something on our Facebook page, only people who actually specifically go to our Facebook page can see it. They don't get the update. When I post it, all 10,000 members get the update, so I may post it a little bit later. But this one's pretty interesting. Let me see if I can... Okay, where'd it go? Because I had it here a little earlier. It was listed over here to the side. It looks like it may have been updated. So, Pat, if you have one more while I find this, because I do want to read this. Very interesting.
Yeah, I do. I do. This one is another vignette, but it's about that arsenic thing. It comes to us from Environmental Science and Technology, their website, and the article is on the environmental fate of roxurcone in poultry litter. And, of course, roxurcone is the proprietary product that contains the arsenic. Mm-hmm. And they studied specifically degradation of roxurcone during composting. So what? I'll just read this. What happens to that arsenic after it leaves the chicken? So roxurcone is a compound that's used extensively, and it is extensively, in tons, in the feed of poultry litter to control coccidial intestinal parasites, improve feed efficiency, and promote rapid growth. It also makes the meat slightly pink, so it looks a little healthier. Nearly all the roxurcone in the feed is excreted unchanged in nature. Now, all this roxurcone, all this arsenic, is excreted by the chicken unchanged in the manure, is what it says, not nature, in the manure. So we've got the manure now full of roxurcone. The poultry litter is composed of the manure, and the bedding material has a very high nutrient content. I mean, it's very high in nitrogen and all kinds of other good stuff. And it is routinely, as we know, used as a fertilizer on cropland and on pasture. So we're spreading this roxurcone litter on cropland and pasture. Investigations were conducted to determine the fate of the poultry litter roxurcone in the environment. And those experiments indicated that the roxurcone was stable in fresh, dried litter. So when it was dry, the arsenic was stable there. But the primary arsenic species extracted with water from the dried litter was roxurcone. In other words, when water was added to the litter at about 50% weight percent, and the mixture was allowed to compost at 40 degrees, the arsenic shifted to become the primary arsenate in about 30 days. So all that is to say, what was stable in the dry litter, Whisper, ended up coming out of it when water was added and being able to be spread into the environment. So that's the first research report I've seen about the fate of roxurcone after it leaves the chicken. What do you think of that one?
Hmm. Yeah, we need to get rid of that in our food system. We need to get rid of that. I know they're working hard to get rid of roxurcone, so and people are working on it, and hopefully they will get rid of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, just amazing. Just amazing.
Anyway, we can help.
Yeah.
Why on earth feed something in our food supply arsenic? Anyway.
Hey,
I'm
not going
to get off my little bandwagon.
No, that's, if I ever got off mine, then I'm always on mine. Hey, in fact, we were reading a book, Jen was reading, a couple of nights ago, Raising a Green Baby or something like that, and they had a referral in one chapter to a study, and you know, studies, a lot of them you have to take with a grain of salt. I mean, when I was doing paramedic training and a heart association training center teaching doctors and nurses on classes that they had to have, we would refer to studies, and I would say, look, it's kind of like you hear studies that say orange juice has been proven to limit certain types of cancer. Study paid for by Minute Maid. You know, I mean, come on. So I mean, really, you really have to do a lot of research there. But we did see, you know, they referred to a study where they took cord blood from so many infants that were born. They examined it, and the numbers were staggering. A couple of hundred or more different types of horrible agents that they found in the baby's cord blood as soon as it was born. Something like 180 were cancer-causing. We're talking about pesticides, herbicides, cancer-causing agents, I don't know, like Teflon off the cooking of our plates, dishes. I mean, it was amazing the number of horrible things they found in the baby's blood doing this. I think it was a 3 or 4 month test, doing so many cord blood samples from so many babies, and the contaminants that were in the cord blood is truly amazing. So, another soapbox in another day. Here's one that I wanted to share with everybody, and it was posted on our Facebook page. We got it on the Newswire. We just didn't get around to posting it, and so someone did share this with us. We'll be posting it so all of our fans can see it there on Facebook. I loved it. Comes to us from Mother Nature Network. New Jersey town to limit conjugal visits for backyard chickens. We're not talking about prisons. And prison visits that are conjugal. Yes, New Jersey town to limit conjugal visits for backyard chickens. A new measure would limit conjugal visits between roosters and hens in backyard farms to only 10 days a year and no more than 5 consecutive nights. How about that?
My Lord, some people just do not have a life, do they?
No. A new measure would limit conjugal visits between roosters and hens in backyard farms to just 10 days a year and no more than 5 consecutive nights. New York, can you feel the love tonight? For roosters in New Jersey's Hopewell Township, it may depend on whether the hookup falls within the 10 days that would be allowed annually for conjugal visits with hens under a proposed law. It's a noise issue, John Hart, a farmer who helped draft the ordinance, said on Friday. The measure would limit conjugal visits between roosters and hens in backyard farms to 10 days a year and no more than 5 consecutive nights. Crowing is strictly prohibited in the relatively rural town which borders Princeton, but keeping a rooster from cockadoodling to the ladies could pose a challenge, Hart said. That's basically their mating call. In the morning, they wake up the hens and say, "It's time for me to take care of business," he said. The chicken ordinance has... As I'm reading it, word for word.
What business is it time for him to take care of? I wonder if he wakes up in the morning saying that.
Wake up in the morning. You can see the sun come up. The rooster comes up, stretches his wings, rears back and crows and says, "Ladies, it's time for me to take care of the business." The chicken ordinance has been under discussion for 3 years, ever since a family wanted to erect, no pun intended, a backyard chicken coop, but was told by the town health department it would be illegal. Meanwhile, Hart said hundreds of chickens and roosters have been living in town under the legal radar as the proposed ordinance nears a final vote on March 28th. Some people mistakenly think a rooster is needed for a hen to lay eggs, when the rooster is only necessary to fertilize eggs to hatch live chickens, he added. So, you heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, New Jersey town to limit conjugal visits for backyard chickens. Oh, my goodness. We also learned today that when a rooster wakes up and stretches his wings and crows, he's thinking, "Good morning, ladies. It's time to take care of business." You heard it here first?
I didn't realize that's what went in their little heads.
Well, you heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So, guess what, folks? It's a half past the hour. That could only mean one thing. It's time for a commercial break. And then when we come back after this commercial break, we're going to welcome our good friend Andrew Odom to talk all about living a minimalist lifestyle. Okay. Now, those of you, don't turn your radios off. It has nothing to do with running around naked, living a minimalist lifestyle, like someone I talked to this week thought. But no, it doesn't include that at all. So if you're not sure, stay around and you'll hear what it's all about and how you might want to participate in this lifestyle as well. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Frenzy, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Manipro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Manipro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I know today is the fourth Tuesday, I believe, of the month, but our new guest, our special guest, Andrew Odom, is going to be joining us actually the third Tuesday of every month from here on out, but we wanted to have him come on this month for sure and tell you all about him and his quest to live a minimalist lifestyle with him and his family and what that means. And as I stated earlier at the beginning of the show, we're all excited about hearing once a month the daily good, bad, and the ugly about this over the last the previous 4 weeks when he does come on. So without further ado, so he can tell us really what it's all about, I'd like to welcome our new guest for the first time, Andrew Odom with TinyRevolution.us, TinyRevolution.us. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hey there, how are you?
Doing great.
Hey, sweet.
Yeah, and Pat,
hey.
our co-host as well, you're on live. Thank you very much. And sweeter than snuff and half as dusty, as they say down here in the South. So we're hanging in there. So thanks for joining us. I don't know if you knew Andrew, but my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, and has written a book. I'm not sure how many years ago, Pat, you can elaborate it. I think it was called Tiny Houses. Is that correct? To get us started kind of on the right foot?
Yeah, you're on the right foot. It's called A Tiny Home to Call Your Own, Living Well in Just Right Houses, because we had the tiny house company at the time, and we decided that people needed to know more about tiny homes. So I'm right in there with you when it comes to living small and living consciously.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, actually, I know the book. I don't know it well. I haven't read it, but I do know the book. You know, it's a pretty small world out there in terms of, well, pardon the pun, in terms of tiny houses. But, you know, when we started researching and everything, there just wasn't a lot of books written about it. And now, of course, we've moved into a lot of folks writing e-books and things like that. But as far as actually printed on paper and put out at the Barnes & Noble or whatever, there wasn't very many. So I'm familiar with the book. I am.
Great. Well, it's soon to come out on Kindle, I'm pleased to say. It'll be about 6 weeks, and it'll be up on Kindle. So we're excited
about that. Well, one of these days, if I ever get fancy enough to get a Kindle, I'll have to take a look at it.
Does Kindle fit in with minimalist? I mean, that's up for debate, isn't it?
You know, it is for debate. You know, a lot of people think, first of all, I have no right even being on a cell phone talking to y'all or in the studio or anything like that and looking at a computer and live chatting and that sort of stuff, because it just doesn't fit into the minimalist or the simple living kind of parameters. And I do have to make a correction. Earlier it was said that perhaps minimalist didn't mean running around naked or anything like that. Actually, right before I got online, I was stark naked outside just running errands. So, you know, I'm going to correct you on that.
That might be more than we need to know, Andrew.
we've given up everything. We've given up clothes. We've given up everything you can. In fact, we're just dirty old redneck hippies out here. That's it. That's all.
I don't know if you heard earlier started tuning in, and so I wanted to mention that again. But earlier in the show, we were going about we spent a pretty good time talking about your site and welcoming you on and whatnot, and I was telling somebody earlier, as we were having you on, we were excited about it. He's going to teach us all about the minimalist lifestyle, and they said, "Well, I don't know if I could do that. I like my clothes," or something like that.
Oh goodness!
I had to clarify.
Well, you know, I'm really excited, and I'm kind of trying to, as I talk to y'all, I'm also saying hi to some really nice folks online that are saying hi to me and welcoming me now. So. You know, part of the reason I'm excited about being on the show is not just because I'm not just the vice president, I'm also a client. I listened to the radio program, and in fact came across the program very early on when we were first starting our backyard coop, as it were, a couple of years ago. So it's exciting to be able to talk to these folks and kind of give a definition of what tiny houses are and simple living and minimalist and all that, because there's a lot of parameters that tend to hold those labels captive. And truth be told, it really is, it's not so much about how much you own or how much you don't own or anything like that. It's all about your mindset. You can be a simple living person. You can be a homesteader. You can be a minimalist, whatever you want to call it. In 2,500 square feet, you can also be one in 200 square feet. It's all about a mindset and about where you're going to take yourself in terms of emotional, spiritual, relationship, that sort of thing. I do want to answer a question. Someone said, someone asked, so where do I live? Well, I'll tell you the truth. I live in North Carolina, in eastern North Carolina. We originally started this whole thing Some of you may have even have read at some point, we used to write anotherkindofdrew.com, the blog, and then we started blogging for Grit Magazine, which moved on to Small Town Living Magazine, and then most recently we switched over to tinyrevolution.us, and are also blogging for Farmer's Almanac. So we're really just spreading the message a lot, and it's not we're not spreading the message just because it's an extreme sort of countermeasure to McMansions and suburban development and that sort of stuff. That's not what it's about at all. It really is for us more about just making things count, and that goes from everything that is tangible to the intangible. It's about making a shirt count for what it is, not just saying, oh, yeah, I have 35 T-shirts. Well, that's great. If you only wear three of them, though, congratulations. You're heating and cooling enough house to store 32 T-shirts. But it's the same also with life. Since we get so fast-paced and we get so involved in things that we don't take the time to really invest in the moment that we're in. So it's going to be an interesting conversation, and I invite everyone, please feel free to, you know, stop by Tiny Revolution or find me on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. I'm always up for answering questions and to helping folks because, you know, truth be known, the legalities around tiny house living and minimalism and that sort of stuff is very difficult because we don't live in a society that embraces that sort of lifestyle. We live in a society that constantly wants to showcase our wealth, our pursuit of wealth, our, you know, our greatness, if it were, our consumption. So, you know, there is a very fine line in between what you can and can't do. And so we're just kind of making it happen and writing about it as it goes. In fact, I'm staring out the window right now at a backhoe operator who is helping us clear about a quarter acre of our land, which is where our tiny house will sit. We have gone through the painstaking process in the past 6 months of actually cutting and chopping all the trees on that quarter acre ourselves, which made for about three cords of wood. And to get the stumps out, it was either our little Ford Ranger truck, which I just didn't think would do it, or a backhoe operator. So we found a backhoe operator, and he's doing it right now. So I'm looking out the window, watching our future being dug up right now.
Wonderful. That's exciting.
Yeah. So let me go back real quick. Someone said, where are you from? So I live in Pink Hill, North Carolina. Please don't stalk me. I appreciate it. That is in eastern North Carolina. We are a rural community. I can't tell you how many people are here because, I only have 10 fingers and I think there's about 12 people. So we are a small community. There are a number of farms still here, but we're also one of those locations where a lot of people have been displaced because of tobacco farming and the legislation against it and that sort of thing. So a lot of people are relearning how to farm different things. There's a large sustainable movement and organic food movement going on. A lot of folks around here growing their own food. And, of course, everyone's got chickens. The grocery store doesn't even need to put eggs in there because people have chickens for all sorts of reasons. Just to give you an idea, us alone, we have three layers of chickens. We have, you know, our laying hens, and then we have our meat hens, and then we have biddies. And all combined, we have about 56 birds or so. So it's, you know, it's life. It just is life. And that's the cool thing about what we do with Tiny Revolution is it's not so much about the house or the space or anything like that. It's about a lifestyle. And it's about a lifestyle of just making things really count and really simple. So, that's where we're at, man. That's it.
Cool. Now, when we go to the website, of course, the tinyrevolution.us, there's a floor plan there of, is that the floor plan of your current dwelling?
Well, not our current dwelling. You'll enjoy this. We actually live in a smaller place right now. We live in a little place we call the bungalow, which at one point was my brother-in-law's wood shop. And he was nice enough while all this was going on to let us invest some time and money and turn it into a little guest cottage, which, like I said, we call the bungalow. And it is a one room with an attached bathroom efficiency, if you will. And right now it's just my wife and I living in it. And we are still married. Everything has gone well. We actually enjoy each other more now than we did before when we were living in Middle Georgia in a 3,800 square foot house with about 46 acres surrounding us. So we enjoy it. We enjoy it. We don't have TV. There you go. Go ahead. Throw the minimalist jokes out there. We don't have a TV.
Good for you.
We do have a computer, and we do know how to look up Hulu.com, so don't think that we don't get to see, you know, The Office or NCIS or anything like that, because we do. We just choose not to make it an active part of our lives. When it's rainy outside, we'll watch a movie or two. If it's, you know, if it's 10 o'clock at night and we're restless, we might, you know, watch something silly, but it's not something where we eat dinner and then we know that the next place we're going to be is in front of the, you know, in front of the TV on the couch. There's just, there's too much else happening. There's too many other things that we want to be, you know, a part of to really get into that. So we live in the bungalow right now, and we are, the unique thing about Tiny Revolution, about our tiny house, is we are part of our whole goal, honestly, is to rid ourselves of consumer debt. And we are about we're about 13 months out from being rid of all consumer debt, which includes student loans, car loans, any residual sort of thing. So thank you. We're about 13 months out from that, and we are paying for the entire Tiny Revolution cash on the barrel. Everything we've done has been cash on the barrel, and so when we move in on that first day, we will move in knowing that it is ours and nobody can boot us out anytime they want. So it's nice. It's nice.
That's no small feat. I mean, that's absolutely huge. And imagine if all of us didn't have debt, how much of a more secure nation we'd be. That's
for sure.
Much more secure.
Now, it's interesting. I see folks are saying online, they're saying, what about, does he have any kids? We do have a child, but it's the size of a bean right now, and so it doesn't take up a lot of room, and it doesn't have a lot of stuff yet, although I do have to laugh and tell y'all, my wife got this pillow. I don't know what it's called, and I don't know how many geese had to die for this pillow, but it is... it's huge. It takes up more than her half a bed. I'm not really happy about that.
7 feet, let me guess. It's about 7 feet long, and it's a funky shape, and it curls all different ways. And
Yeah, that's it. It's supposed to make her more comfortable while making me feel totally unimportant. Absolutely.
Yeah, Jen has that pillow. She's had it for almost her entire pregnancy as well. I feel your pain. And, and you roll over and you hit this big... This big divider down this down the center of the bed. Like,
You are exactly right. Well, so to answer
question, you guys, wait. You can't compete with a pillow. Is that what you're saying here on the air?
Apparently,
yeah. I guess what it boils down to is we've been reduced to human pillows at best. So, but to answer that question more specifically, yeah, we do have a child on the way, and how is that going to affect the revolution? How is that going to affect Tiny House? We realized that we were pregnant at a very integral time in the blueprinting of Tiny House, because as we were looking at the layout, at the footprint, at what we could put here, what we could put there, we realized that we were actually, and please don't laugh at this, hear me out, being a little bit selfish about the space in the house, in the sense that there was one area that we were using to expand our bathroom out to what would have been a larger bathroom than most what we'll call starter homes actually have. So when we found out we were pregnant, we immediately went back to the drawing board and we said, okay, what can we do here? So what we're going to do is, we have reduced the size of that bathroom, and we have built what we will be building a small infant slash toddler slash small child room. Now, you may think to yourself, you know what, no kid's going to like that. They need their space, they need their this, they need their that. But tell me what kid would not enjoy their bedroom being like a mini fort? Because what we're going to do is actually build the bed and the shelves and all that into the bedroom so that it's their own little, for lack of better words, captain's quarters, so that they have their own space, you know, that's closable by a curtain, just like if you were living in an RV, living on a boat, something of that nature. So we have made plans for that. We're excited about it. Of course, for the first couple of months, they won't need a whole lot of room. And now I know people are going to say, but all the diapers and the onesies and all that sort of stuff, this is where the minimalism comes in. You really have to think about, if my child is not introduced to XYZ, will they ever know they're missing it? And so if we don't bring in 35 plastic walker toys, are they ever going to know at 2 years old that they don't have 35 plastic walker toys?
Good point.
And that's the decision that we've made as a couple. Now, it may work, it may not work, you know? I mean, we may get a kid that just is not happy with any of it, and we'll deal with that. You know, that's part of the gamble you take when raising a child anyway, is having to deal with what's going on with that child's individual spatial needs and that sort of stuff. So we're expecting a child. We've made preparation for it as best we can. We're not going to have a nursery, no, but we're going to do what we can. Right now we live about 70 to 75% of our lives outdoors anyway. So if we're outdoors, it serves to reason that our child would be outdoors as well.
Now I'm looking at this. It looks like it's the floor plan here at tinyrevolution.us. That looks like that's built from what your receipt shows, a 30-foot trailer.
It is.
Okay, so and how wide? It's 30 feet long by how wide is that, Drew?
Well, there are – the actual trailer is 7 foot by 30 foot.
Okay.
You can build up to 8 foot wide. That's the U.S. legal road limit. Anything wider than that, and you have to have a service vehicle ahead of you and behind you.
So I'm going to have to get I guess I'll have to get a service vehicle when I get the big tires on my pickup truck then, huh?
You may have to. Absolutely.
8 feet wide. My goodness.
But we'll be about 7'4" wide, and we'll be about 31 feet long.
Okay.
And that is the absolute exterior measurement to exterior measurement. So everything else will be contained inside. It is a wood structure. It's a sticks and bricks sort of structure, if you will. We've chosen not to use metal, but to use wood. We're not going to be shaving down, so the 2x4s will be the, you know, will be the 1 5/8 by 3 5/8 or whatever it is they actually are at the store. We'll have normal studs. We'll have not normal insulation. We're using sustainable products, but we'll have standard installation sizes. We'll have standard wallboard sizes, that sort of thing. So it will, for all intents and purposes, it will be a home, except that it is on a trailer.
So that's about 210 square feet, give or take. And let me ask you this. It popped into my head here. Because you do have a restroom. Looks like it's a shower stall and a toilet. I don't know. Are outhouses still legal anywhere in America?
Outhouses are not legal anywhere in America, believe it or not. You cannot build an outhouse any longer.
It's completely illegal to have an outhouse.
They didn't know that.
It is illegal. Now, here's the interesting thing about it, though. And the only reason it's illegal is because if we did not pay into the government-funded septic and sewage system, they wouldn't make the money off of us.
Right.
So,
in the little town we're at, we talked about putting in a well, and we're technically within city limits, and they have city sewer and water. And they told us now I am going to be running for mayor of that town, but it talks about even if I did spend the expense to dig a well to whatever irrigate my crops or whatever, that I guess it's a law and ordinance that I cannot I still have to, I mean, I guess I could run it to my house and use it, but I still have to pay for city sewer and water that I couldn't use that well. It's really weird. So I was curious about the outhouse thing because I've always wanted to know that. I knew you would know the answer about is it still legal to have an outhouse. I guess
yeah.
I don't know how they would catch you going out into the woods and taking care of business.
Exactly. And you've got to say, okay, which state trooper, which sheriff, and which cop is actually going to come and disturb me when I'm in the outhouse to give me the ticket? Because, you know, that's a rough job right there. Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing is it's illegal to build the outhouse. However, there are ways around it. And this is what I love about what we're discovering with Tiny Revolution is that there are loopholes to everything. And when a municipality is not willing to compromise and work with its people, it's never going to get the full scope of what it could be. And when saying that, here are some of the loopholes. You can't have an outhouse, but you can have a compost toilet. You mm-hmm. can also have a gray water, black water system that feeds into an outdoor leach pit system. Mm-hmm. So you can have a number of alternative situations that get around the law or that actually, I say get around the law, it sounds so illegal that way, that actually don't touch the law because the law in place is a very conservative thought process anyway. Now, does that mean that you can't put an outhouse because somebody's going to come and say you got to take this outhouse down? I seriously doubt it. I don't think that anyone would actually care unless the outhouse were in your front yard and you were in a suburban place, you know, where your neighbor 50 feet away was going, gosh, something is putrid around here. But you could certainly do that out where we are. See, that's one of the benefits that we have is we are in a rural environment, and we are in the county, not the city. So you can have a compost toilet, which we will have. If you notice the bathroom, we'll be using a compost toilet, which, you know, for that's a whole other discussion in itself. A lot of folks say, oh, I would never do that. I would never do that. Well, quite frankly, I don't like going to the bathroom in my water and expecting somebody else to clean it up before I drink it. So, you know, it's really one of those depends on which side of the fence you are conversations. We will have a bathtub and a shower, and part of that discussion was, you know, I asked my wife what she really wanted out of the house, and what she wanted was a bathtub. And I said, then we will have a bathtub. We'll figure it out. So we are using a slightly smaller, I like to call them apartment-size bathtubs, which means my big self won't be getting in it, but I'll be using the shower because that's just the way it worked out. And we will have a sink, you know, with running water. So the bathroom will be, for all intents and purposes, as normal as the bathroom in anyone else's house.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing how you can very efficiently make bathrooms too, Andrew. I mean, if you look at boats and travel trailers, it's the design efficiency and the way things can double.
Absolutely. We could have gone with a wet bath very easily and just put either a water resistant material or like a stainless steel or something and just had, you know, a wet bath where the commode is in the shower stall because it's all one room anyway. The efficiency really is limited only by your imagination.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And the other thing, of course, with living small is going vertical and making use of vertical wall space. It's incredible how bookshelves and even pots and pans can be stored on walls that save cabinet space. So the imagination can really go rampant when it comes to living small.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things that we love, when we were in Georgia, we had an outdoor solar shower, which I see a number of people on the chat talking about a bit. Outdoor solar showers are great if you have a well and can feed that water, gravity feed it, and then just use 250, 300 foot of black, you know, bendable plastic coated piping, if you will, some sort of PVC or whatever. It's beautiful. It heats the water up in the middle of the day. You've got 120 degree water that you're mm-hmm. sending through the shower. It's an excellent, excellent way to continue living outside, and it's something that we'll look into as we progress through through this time. Yeah.
Right. Well, there are just the black bags too that campers often use, and the friend of mine that loves taking a solar shower. It's just this black bag that they hang in the sun, and it gets,
oh, absolutely,
it gets hot. I mean, you can burn yourself with some of this hot water.
Absolutely. If you don't have a cold water source to mix it with, or you don't have a mixing valve to mix it with, it can get really, really warm.
Yeah. But of course, you have to shower pretty quickly. Sometimes the water is a little limited. when it goes, it's gone.
Absolutely.
That's the nice thing about having the hose there is you get a continual feed of,
sure,
feed of water coming.
Sure.
Through.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because in the bungalow, we only have a 4-gallon hot water heater. We didn't want to spend a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of space. So we got a 4-gallon hot water heater. It is fantastic. It's small. It works perfectly. And it saves water, too, because trust me, after 6 minutes, you don't want to be in that shower anymore.
You'd be sure and tell your guests, too. It's like, don't lather up and expect a long shower.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a great, but again, that's part of the double purpose that you were talking about earlier. You know, one of our concerns in our lifestyle is sustainability and is efficiency. And once we are debt free, we don't want to get back into debt. We don't want to have to live paycheck to paycheck where, you know, we have to work, you know, where I have to work a 60-hour-a-week work week to make ends meet, that sort of thing. So what better way to do it than really take a look at your life and start conserving in ways that you can. And one of those ways is water. If you're only using that 4 gallons per shower, you're cutting down tremendously on a shower that I think the average American right now spends 19 to 21 gallons on.
Yeah, easily. Sometimes I like to, I'm confessing here, Andrew, but I like to take a shower at our local Y because I can just get in there and just stay.
Look, I know what you're talking about. I have to travel sometimes for work, and when I get to those hotels, one of the things I love to do is take a good 20-minute shower on them.
Yeah.
I figure I'm paying anyway. I might as well enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the things that I've got a little guest room here, sort of. It's rented out right now, but have to tell people, you know, it only has 10 gallons. We really splurged and put 10 gallons in there, but it's not, you know, take quick showers. It's not a whole time that you can stay, because we have
Absolutely.
Had people without warning. You know, they get in there and they're all of a sudden it's freezing cold and they come tearing out with their heads all soaked up. But forewarned is forearmed when it comes to small tanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking on the chat. I see they've moved on. They're past me now. So I don't see any questions that they're really wondering about. Are there any questions that y'all have to ask me on the forefront that we could kind of get people into the know of what we're doing?
Yeah. Well, there's one question about a tub there. You said you are going to put a tub in, and you just prefer to take showers. So for you, it'll be sort of the shower wash. What model or what kind of tub have you gotten? Did you select for that?
The tub, and you know what? I wish I had my I wish I had my notebook. We're the organizing type of family. So we have a 3-ring binder that has all of the products that we've looked at and all that sort of stuff, and what we plan on purchasing, all that sort of thing. In that notebook, the tub we're actually purchasing from an RV supplier, and it's a fiberglass unit that has the surrounding walls that you install, and the tub is about 4 feet long.
Oh wow! Okay, so it's a full tub.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. And of course, that we already use biodegradable products and have even played around with making our own products. One of the things we hope to do is start using, we'll be kind of introducing goats towards the end of the year, and we'll hope to start making our own soap, that sort of thing. So we'll really be able to utilize that gray water, black water, and leach system a little bit more, because that tub water would drain right into the irrigation for our gardens. So it really does work out pretty well if you're not trying to meet someone else's requirements for what the perfect house has to be. It has to be about what your perfect house is.
Yeah. Well, there's another question there in the chat room, Andrew.
I'm seeing them pop up now. Man, now I say one thing, and now they're all popping up. I can run down a couple of these real quick if y'all want.
Sure.
Not a problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, sure. One person says, what about zoning issues? We're actually in the middle of working with our city's mayor as well as with our county commission to work on some zoning issues because they don't have a straight answer. We don't fall under mobile housing. We don't follow under traditional sticks and bricks housing. So they're not real sure what to do. Throw in the fact that we're in rural zoning area and not mm-hmm. residential, and it's just a lot of confusion. So while our land does allow us to just kind of disappear into the woods, so to speak, we want to really help other people kind of forge this area and feel empowered to approach their community leaders as well as to how they could do something like this. So we're researching more zoning so that we can possibly get some legislation passed for future tiny house people. But as far as our zoning conditions, we're okay where we're at. But that doesn't do any good for people who aren't living out in the middle of the sticks, you know. I see a couple other things real quick. Someone is asking, what about cooking? How are we going to cook? Well, pretty much we're going to put things in pots and pans and heat them up, and they'll go from raw to cooked. I mean, you know, throw in some seasoning, a little salt and pepper. It's going to work out real nice. But honestly, most of our appliances, we have opted right now in the bungalow. We have a 3-burner oven stove range with oven, and it's propane powered, and it works beautifully. But we don't use it. We just don't use it. And so we're going to actually try tiny house with a very nice, larger size toaster oven, if you will.
Okay.
That I think is put out by Queasy Pro. So it is a professional model. It's not just something you pick up at Target or something like that. And essentially it's the same idea. It's just a little bit smaller. Because right now there's only two of us and then, you know, a smaller mouth. We're going to give that a shot at first. So that's kind of how the cooking situation is going to go at first. But the refrigerator is a 10.2 cubic feet refrigerator. Trying to think what else is in a normal
propane?
Kitchen.
Is it going to be propane, Andrew?
Yes. And we won't have a microwave because we don't use a microwave now. We just aren't in the habit of using a microwave, so it's not a big deal. And if any of y'all have read the blog, you'll find that my biggest deal is the coffee pot. Like, whether or not I want to make coffee through, you know, a normal drip grinder or if I want to do French press. I talk about that a lot. So they will be using open shelving, so it makes the room appear a lot larger than it really is. It'll be just a traditional kitchen, just on a smaller scale. Imagine, if you will, a kitchen in Paris, a kitchen in Europe, any of those kitchens. That's the scale we're working on because America is the only country in the world with kitchens the size that we have. And, you know, we just don't need, because of the way the house is laid out, people will, will congregate in the house. So the kitchenette being off to the side of the house will not interrupt the flow of conversation or happiness or anything like that. So that's kind of how that'll run down. Now, we are using both electric and propane stuff. I know that's always kind of a question of people. We will be using propane and electric. For the first year, we'll be on an electric on the grid system, which is powered by our power company and will be on a temporary permit. But we will immediately begin saving for full solar power, which with a house that size doesn't have a huge pull. It's not a lot of requirements. So it won't be a very difficult install. And then we'll have a generator for backup. We'll be totally off-grid using solar power with a generator for backup. As far as propane
Andrew, I've got
goes,
a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you said you have permit for the power. Because your house is on a trailer, so it's mobile, do you have to get a building permit for that?
We don't. It's because it's agriculture. It's temporary agriculture.
Okay.
So we don't have to, again, it's another one of those misnomers. It's like, well, you know, we're not really farming out of our house. But it underneath of temporary agriculture does come recreational vehicles. So we will have we've already been approved for a temporary permit to get that sort of power installed. It'll be feeding right off of a transformer. At the end of our time limit, which I believe is 260 days, if we haven't yet converted to solar, then we'll have to reapply. And then it's anybody's guess as to whether or not we'll get to continue with that service. Ideally, though, we will have made the transition. That's been our plan since day one. We had hoped not to even have to get on the grid, but money only goes but so far. There's always more time at the end of the paycheck. So
it's awfully nice too. We've had this discussion in my little groups, but it's so nice when you've got that outlet right there and you can just plug in. It's so convenient. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
We're
just about out of time here. Any final comments or Whisper? Do you have any questions?
It's been awesome. Yeah. Any final comments, Sandra, to wrap it up?
Yeah, let me just wrap it up by saying, of course, you can find me on Facebook. I'm facebook.com/anotherkindofdrew. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Odom, O-D-O-M. You can come to the website, tinyrevolution.us, and contact me there. There's a host of ways. You can pop over to Farmer's Almanac. We're there, Tiny Revolution on the side. But I want to just let people know, in the course of the next few months, the goal is not for me to answer as many questions as possible so you can see what kind of freaky lifestyle we have going on here, but rather it's to really let people understand that they're only limited and they're only prohibited by their own dreams and imaginations, that someone's dream house is unique to them and to their life. And we may put our batteries for solar power in a place where someone else would think is absolutely ludicrous. That's okay. That's part of what life is about, is really just making your own path, keeping it simple for yourself to where you understand the functionality of everything, and it allows you to really just invest in every single moment.
Yep, good point. Well stated, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Very well stated.
Very much so.
Thank you, folks.
I know you enjoyed what you heard today, and you've got something to look forward to, because the third Tuesday of every month, we're going to be listening to and welcoming Andrew Odom to come on and tell us about this whole lifestyle that I know a lot of you are interested in, the homesteading, the sustainability, the urban farming, gardening, our rule, and how to live a minimalist lifestyle. So now you have a little bit better idea, if you didn't already, know kind of what we're talking about and the path that him and his family are taking. Andrew, we just want to say thank you very much for coming on the show, sharing that with us, and we really look forward to your visit once a month here so we can learn the good, the bad, and the ugly, and maybe you'll have a lot of people following your footsteps.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to our next conversation.
Sounds great. Thank you for joining us. Alrighty, folks, it is now time for our chicken trivia contest. We're going to go to a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll have a trivia question for you. Every Tuesday is brought to you by eggcartons.com. Yep, visit them online at eggcartons.com. We have a great prize lined up for you today, provided by eggcartons.com, a attack chicken sign is what we're playing for here today. And when we come back, we'll ask the trivia question. We'll have a correct caller, and you'll have to answer the trivia question correctly. But you basically have your choice here at eggcartons.com. You have caution, area patrolled by attack rooster. Caution, area patrolled by attack chicken. Caution, area patrolled by attack duck. Or caution, area patrolled by attack guinea. And so you basically get your choice. It looks like they're about $12 plus shipping right to your location from our good friends over at eggcartons.com. Everybody loves these signs. And so whether you want one that says attack chicken, attack rooster, attack duck, or attack guinea, when you email me the winner emails me all their shipping information, you can specify which one you want, attack rooster, attack chicken, attack duck, or the attack guinea. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break with chicken trivia.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
And the Mighty Bird Against Prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We had a great, great show today, I think, with Andrew Odom with TinyRevolution.us. How about it, Pat? That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really interesting. I thought especially the considerations that one goes through in building a tiny house and living in one. I mean, you really look after every square foot of space as something very special, which we often overdo living in bigger houses. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the future episodes of this one. It's a good one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. Absolutely. Me as well. All righty, we're going to take caller number 8. If you know the answer to the following question, many of you should. I'd be disappointed if you didn't. But caller number 8 at 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Caller number 8, if you know the answer to the following question, you'll win this great prize from eggcartons.com, your choice of attack signs to put on your barn or on your chicken coop or on the fence or in your kitchen or wherever you may want it. So the correct caller who calls in caller number 8, if they don't know, we'll go to caller number 9 and so on. This Saturday, we've been publicizing a very big event. We'll be broadcasting live from. We want to know what the name of that event is coming up this Saturday on March 26th. If you know the name of the big event that we've been publicizing and talking about for the last several weeks, we'll be broadcasting live from there this Saturday, the 26th of March. Give us a call. Caller number 8, if you know the right answer, you'll win this awesome prize from eggcartons.com. If you don't, we'll go to caller number 9, caller number 10, and then caller number 11, and so on until we get a right answer. 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Give us a call. What's the name of the event we'll be broadcasting live from this Saturday, March 26th?
Question.
And the whole event is put on by our good friends up there at with Dr. Bridget McCray. And that's what we want to look for. So give us a call, and you'll win this prize. And then we'll wrap up the radio show, and we hope you'll tune in tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed what you heard today. And then we hope you tune in the rest of the week at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, no show on Friday, no radio show on Friday, but we will be broadcasting live from this event to make up for it on Saturday. We'll be broadcasting in live HD video as well. We said call number 8.
Caller number 8. Okay.
Get over here to the switchboard.
Follow the switchboard. Did it light up?
Yeah, it did. Lots of people know about this. All righty, call number 8. You're calling in from area code 386. 386, if you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Andy. It's Tom from Florida.
Tom from Florida. Thank you very much down there in the Sunshine State listening and calling in and participating in our chicken trivia. And the question is, we have a big event we've been promoting for this Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live on location. And it's put on through with, of course, Dr. McCray working very hard. And what's the name of that event?
Cooptastic.
Cooptastic is it. That's exactly right. Congratulations. And a little bit different here. Of course, everything stays the same, except we want you to specify which one you would like. So, Tom in Florida, if you'll email us at chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. And if you'll email us your name, your shipping address, your phone number, in case we have any shipping issues, and finally, for this prize, which specific sign you want. You want attack rooster, attack chicken, attack duck, or attack guinea. Caution, area patrolled by, and specify in the email if you want attack rooster, attack chicken, attack duck, or attack guinea. And we'll get that information over to Scott, our friend, over at eggcartons.com, sponsoring every Tuesday chicken trivia contest. So congratulations, Tom. Appreciate you being a longtime listener and fan. And we invite you as well to join us on Facebook, folks. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. It looks like we're about 34 fans away from hitting the big 10,000 number. So that's what we're looking for. Maybe in the next 24, 48 hours, we'll hit 10,000 fans there on Facebook. We thank you for following us there. And until tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we hope you'll join us. Had a great show today. Thank you, Pat, for joining us. And we will see you then. Pat, take it away. Pat Foreman.
Today, our special guest was Andrew Odom. He's talked to us about minimalist living and designing and planning to live in a tiny home on a trailer. He's at tinyrevolution.us. Andy Schneider, I'm so glad you're back in the saddle again and sounding so frisky. I do hope you win that pillow fight in the long run, so good luck with that. And of course, thanks to our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along with us every day, day after day. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. And, of course, blessings to all. We love you all so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.